Blog Talk Radio.
Win the day with a Dunkin' deal. Get two egg and cheese wake-up wrap sandwiches for $2. They're made fresh with tasty egg and melted cheese all wrapped up and ready to go. It's a sweet deal to get your day going. And for $2, you can feel energized no matter what your day throws at you. Right now, get two egg and cheese wake-up wrap sandwiches for $2. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary, plus applicable taxes, limited time offer.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servodidio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. If you have any questions, updates, show ideas, or if you'd like to be a guest, you can send us an email at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Also, check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. Well, tonight I have such an exciting show. On the line with us, I have Dr. Lisa. Dr. Lisa is an international communicator, consultant, and trainer. She has a PhD with expertise in leadership and education. Her mission, story changer. Her message, God takes the bad and makes it good. She has a passion for helping people achieve their dreams, grow in their craft, and come out of adversity, not smelling of smoke. For over 30 years, she has developed leaders and organizational teams from different countries. Her leadership experience influences her approach to helping clients overcome adversity, develop skills, and build confidence that comes from knowing God's desires to keep us life abundantly. Dr. Lisa is a highly sought after as a provider of continuing education and professional development, both live and online. Dr. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Alexis. This is going to be fun. I appreciate you having me.
Of course. And just reading your bio again, really, I mean, the fit that you have, you fit perfectly for my show. You are everything that I represent and everything that I speak about on the show. So it's just such a blessing to have you on this evening.
Well, it's a blessing to be here. I really appreciate it.
Yes. So tell us, how did you get started in this field? When did it all begin?
Well, what I started off doing was working as a teacher in the inner city. And I ended up, over a period of time, and with the call of God on my life, I ended up starting my own schools, developing my own schools and leading them. And so much came against me during that period of time that you would not believe. It is like something out of the Twilight Zone. I basically was, after 10 years of success, more than a decade of success, I went through a period where people that were against the type of schools and the education reform movement that I had just came against me, lied about me, my organization, got me tied up in legal problems. During the same time I was going through that, my father had cancer, and you know how many families are touched with some type of illness, especially when you're going through another type of crisis in life. And there's a lot of people out there that go through these innocuous legal things. They have no idea what this is and how they're going to get through it. And I was one of those people. So once I got through the process, what I started doing, I literally began to write everything I was experiencing, the effects of my trauma. And I began to study my own issues. How was I thinking and how was I feeling? And I became suicidal. I became a hermit, like I did not want to go out of the house. And I didn't even recognize myself. So I began to think, okay, now while this is happening, what good can come out of it? You know, I can't control the circumstance. Mm-hmm. I can't control any of this. It's not something I can change. I've done the best I can in my life, but this is still happening. So what am I going to do right now so that I can have something good come out of this? And obviously my relationship and my walk with God was primary to the foundation of this. But no matter how much prayer, no matter how many spiritual things that you might do, some people out there are medicate, some people, you know, they have different things, that different ways that they connect to God. But I will say none of that worked in changing the circumstances. So I had to accept them and figure out what good can come out of this. So that's how what I'm doing now came to be. You just have to be determined to see something in the future. And say, okay, what is this about? This is a bigger purpose. I'm facing this great injustice, but there's a bigger purpose in this, and let me find what that purpose is.
Yes, yes. And I agree with you 100%. So many times in my office as a psychotherapist, I will get clients in that, you know, have gone through horrific loss and trauma and tribulations, legal, all different things, and a lot of times they're saying, Why me? How can I get out? You know, why did this happen to me? I did everything right. Why am I being punished? And I think, yes, you know, we're all human. We can go to that. But I think it's not about being stuck in that, but trying to say, okay, what can I do to heal from this? What good can come out of us? Even though it sounds, that doesn't make sense. How could something good come out of this horrible, horrible thing? But it's a choice, and it's an inner choice. And as you said, and as I feel 100% with my story too, is God is what got me through it. God has got which, and my faith to say, okay, I can let this destroy me. I can get stuck in this and dwell in it and live here. Or I can say, okay, this was really a tough break. This is really hard. But let me start healing. And how can I share my story to encourage and help somebody else to move forward?
Right, right. And what I started to do was, obviously, I wrote a book first, and it's called Walking Through Fire, Overcoming Life's Worst Circumstances, and it's available on Amazon.com. But after I wrote that book, I had to think of, you know, I was the main subject. I don't know if you've ever heard the story of Viktor Frankl, who was in the Holocaust, and he survived, and how, you know, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning based on his research there and how he studied people in the Holocaust. And he could predict, he got to the position to where he could predict the next person that was going to die based on how he saw them just begin to accept the circumstances and how that they were going to allow themselves or allow their life to just go on. It was just too much. But he held on to the fact that at one point he had love in his life, so he would think about his wife, and he held that love, even though it wasn't present in his circumstance then, he kept it in his heart so he could focus on it and still feel it from the memory of having once had it. And then the hope of having it again, his hope, maybe he would find mm-hmm. his wife. And then the other thing was, psychologically, he basically was a trained psychologist. So he used what he knew. He was like, okay, I'm going to use what I know and see how I can use it going forward in the world. And so even though I never went through and we've never faced anything, that's probably the worst atrocity we can imagine, that and the other type of genocide in the world. There's other circumstances, but we can learn from those people who did get through other things that we can't imagine. And we can say, okay, you know, how did they do that? And so that's what I did. I found the worst possible circumstances in other people's stories, and I said, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. And they found good out of this. Viktor Frankl ended up, you know, giving us the clues. Okay. Find meaning in the purpose, basically. That's why he ended up titling that Man's Search for Meaning. It was republished and everything like that. But so that's what I have tried to do, and that's what I want to help other people do now. So one of my things that I actually do is I consult with people who are victims of crime, being accused of a crime, especially those who people target because they might be wealthy or they might be a high-profile person. Some people are targeted mm-hmm. because they're successful. And,
yes.
you know, people just love to take people down who are successful. I mean, you know, even if they made a mistake, do they deserve to be accused of being a criminal when it might really be a civil issue? It might be a difference of opinion. It might be, you know, you might not do the, you don't know why they made decisions the way that they did. But it's certainly not a criminal act. But that's kind of what happened with me, you know, when I got tied into that legal situation. So I try to help people in the very same way because they are out there, and it is unbelievable. So my job, my role in consulting with them is, you know, let me help you not to become a victim of somebody trying to get a headline. You know, if you're a high-profile person, you better watch out. You know, you've got to have a whole army around you. And if you're wealthy, watch out even more, you know, if they could perceive you to be wealthy, if they perceive you to have resources, you know, you've got all these people, you know, they don't want to earn it themselves the right way. They want to come and take yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm trying to, and for you, how was it?
Just, I think what you brought up, like two incredible points that a lot of people don't talk about is one, that there are people out there who their main goal in life and their main job in life is to find out what people they can take down and ruin their reputation, especially the jealousy of someone who's successful, who's worked hard, who has something, that there are people out there that will just do that because they're jealous or they're opportunist and they figure they're going to get something out of it. And that's hard mm-hmm. as a good person, as if you worked hard and you're really trying to do the best you can, and then someone does these malicious lies and stories, and people start believing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that nowadays in this climate, thank God, that's starting to change. When people read something, they don't believe it anymore. When they see it on the news, they don't believe it anymore. Thank God, because there was a time when everybody just took in. You know, at least we're taught to research a little bit more and allow the people to have their own voice. In our situation, you know, when we had got tied up with our schools, you know, when you get tied up in that, you're not allowed to speak. Anybody out there that's a victim of some type of legal matter or something else, you're not allowed to speak to it because they want the surprise element in court. And then what they do is they drain your resources so that you can never get there, you know. And so that's the strategy that they use. But what I'm trying to do is cast a wider net for people because there's all kinds of trauma in the world, all kinds of circumstances that we just do not know what people are going through. So I want to be there and say there are, you know, when you recognize – there's something that has hit your life. Don't think of this as, you know, a life sentence. You know, let me try to connect with you, walk with you during this period, and I can promise you that you will come out better, as I say, not smelling of smoke. You're going to be stronger, faster. You're going to be able to think better. You're going to be more productive. And the analogy that we like to use is fruit. You're going to bear more fruit, bigger fruit. You know.
Wow.
So.
I'm just so impressed by the work that you do because I've never really heard of a person, of a company, of an agency working on that side of the fence. And I think that it is so needed that, you know, for when someone is going through something or being accused of something, being able to find that strength and to speak to someone and have someone support you and help you get through that in those darkest moments is so necessary and so well needed.
Well, you said the word opportunist, and that is what happens. When you get somebody in a situation like that, all these people that are opportunists, It could be lawyers. It could be anybody, you know, anybody in the state. They come and they make promises, and they kind of pump you up, telling you, oh, yeah, you know, I can take care of this for you. I can, but they never keep the promises. What they do is they just drain your resources. And it's like, over time, you begin to see this was somebody that couldn't help you or whatever. So you want to be in a position of what I like to say, quarterback your own life. Let the doctors handle the medical issues. Let the lawyers handle the legal issues. Let, you know, whoever has to handle what their expertise is, but don't give them anything that's not within their expertise. And don't get anybody to come alongside and help coach you through something and consult with you if they have not personally been through that. You know, so, you know, I had a rotten lawyer at first when I went through the legal process, but then after I was able to secure more resources, I ended up with an attorney that had gone to prison for 2 years for being falsely accused of something. That guy had some skin in the game. He felt compassionate for me, and he got in there and turned my situation completely around. And I came out, but I had the right person. But it was too late. I had to still go through so much because I had not chosen the right person initially, or the team didn't, the school didn't. So in this situation, you know, that's what I want to help people do. Okay, you know, it's a risk versus reward situation. You know, let's look at your risk and let's see what you're willing to sacrifice, you know, and that's in every area of life, you know, every area. So I tell you what, our country is just going through so much turmoil, and we need to really exercise wisdom with who we have in our inner circles and how we prepare ourselves as we walk through our daily life. And if we do have a circumstance, you know, be ready. Have those right people around you and knowing how you're going to respond. Stay connected with them so that when something comes up, you're not trying to seek out and find the solution. You've got the solution sort of on your right arm.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
What do you
think
about that?
So important. So important. Watch who you surround yourself with. So many times people say, oh, they're harmless, they're just negative. No, you have to be very careful who you put in your inner circle, who you're there for supporting you, and who's going to be there for you, because you have to have a very positive circle, positive team, and to make sure you have it together in good and in bad, because it's very important to have those type of people around you that see your vision, that support you, that really want the best for you and have proven that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like you did a lot of inner work as well so that you can communicate this message. And I think a lot of times it has to start on the inside before you're able to have it manifest on the outside. And some people have just never done that inner work. When they get stuck in a situation, they're trying to navigate how to respond. They don't even know what they think about certain circumstances. So you have to already know spiritually where you stand, mentally where you stand, emotionally where you stand, all of that, you know, before you get in that situation.
Yes. And I think a point I was thinking about earlier when you were speaking is about, you know, about having that, finding that kind of peace and that hope through when you're going through the turmoil, through a tough time, that there it is very, it can be very dark. It becomes very dark. But being able to have that strength to work through it and to make that decision, I'm gonna try and move forward, that is such half the battle. And I find, you know, as you said about cancer and your father, my father had lung cancer, and when he first was diagnosed, he had 3 months to live. He ended up living 4 years. But the only reason why the doctor said he lasted that long is because he had a good support team, he had our family, and he had that he wanted to live. Because of his attitude, the doctor said, that is what kept him going. He just kept getting up in the morning. He kept doing it. He wants to get better. He wants to live. He wants to, you know, he had people giving him strength and hope. And that was half the battle. I think that's so important. So many times people don't believe. They think, what is that? It's really how you feel about yourself, how you feel about life, really has a huge impact on who you are and where you're going to be going.
Absolutely. And just trying to find the good in life and have laughter. Just have laughter in your life. My friend Fran Capo, I don't know if you know her, but she is a comedian. She's in New York City, but she is the most hilarious person. And her dad had cancer, too. And she tells a story about him getting a chia pet so that he could do a test to see whether the chia pet, the hair on the chia pet grew faster than his. And, I mean, you know, she tells that story. I mean, you know, this is just, you just have to find humor in things, you know. And those are the kinds of people that, you know, you want to have around you, because some things just don't make sense. And no matter how much we try to analyze and evaluate, some things, we're going to go through seasons that just are not going to make sense. And the type of personality I am, I have to make sense of things. I'm a deep thinker. And, you know, just some things just are not going to make sense. And so you have to be able to let that go. And you have to really work on forgiveness. And so when you can't, go back and look at those examples. When you feel like you can't, go back and look at those examples of the people that have the worst atrocities. Corey Timboom, you know, seeing that Nazi guy, Nazi guard kill her sister, and then later come back and ask for her forgiveness. I mean, buddy, she had, you know, that would have been the epitome of the example of it right there. And if she was able to do that, you know, we can forgive these other lesser offenses, you know. But I tell
you, amazing,
Alexis,
you just
life
said,
is not easy.
Yeah, and it's amazing you just said that. I grew up with my mother teaching me about the hiding place, Corey Team Boom, that you were just talking about for my listeners, and always those stories about lessons in life. And, you know, my mom always talks about that wonderful chapter when they're talking about the grandfather and the suitcase, and the daughter or granddaughter wanted to carry the suitcase, and he said, "This is too heavy." Just like in life, some things are too heavy when you're a child to carry.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. I think these stories, these lessons, really are what helps you go through all these things and endure.
And sometimes there's going to be surprises come out of your life that you are just not even thinking about, but you have to leave yourself open. You would not believe the most wonderful surprise that just happened to me. Before my dad died of cancer, he tells me I was an adopted child, but my family never talked about it. They were very secretive, and I mean, it was never discussed. But when my dad died, he told me what he knew about my circumstances. He told me my name. And he told me that my mother was a kid, a young girl, and so that she just couldn't take care of me. And he gave me, well, the law passed for, and he said, you know, you need to find your mother, and you need, because my adoptive mother that raised me had passed away many years earlier, so it was just me and my dad. And he encouraged me. He said, you need to find your mother. She deserves to know the wonderful young woman you became. She gave us the gift of joy. You were the perfect daughter anybody would dream of. I mean, can you imagine this? So I end up getting my birth certificate some years later. The law passed in some states in 2015, the law passed where you could get your birth certificate. But I was in the middle of this, transition. And all this stuff was going on. I had not really pursued it, but I did find out a little bit more information. But finally, I just turned 50 this last month in December. So before my 50th birthday, my goal was to find my mother and figure this out, where she was, just find out the information. Because I had a friend that had given her baby up for adoption, and every year she got severely depressed around the baby's birthday. So my thing was, okay, I'm going to be 50. You know, I'm going to do this. So I got my birth certificate, and I was shocked to find out that my birth mother's name was almost identical to my name. My name is Lisa Kay, and her name was Linda Kay. And it freaked me out. I said, oh, my goodness. I thought this was a incredible God thing. Turns out I was able to find my mom within 48 hours later. We were on the phone before my 50th birthday. And I found out that my adoptive mom named me after my birth mom. And bottom line is, who would ever think, and the whole family, the whole entire family of my mom's family has been praying for me for 50 years, wondering where I was, how I was, hoping to find me. And my mom owns a limousine service in Florida. And she told me, she said, Lisa, when I retired, that was going to be my priority to find you. And I mean, it is the most unbelievable thing. So here I'm focused on this other stuff, right? I'm focused on I've got to build my career back. I've got to do the, you know, I've got to start my life over. And then this whole other miracle happens. That is just the most unbelievable, unexpected thing. I wanted to find out and keep my promise to my dad that I would find out the information, that I would know about my mother and she would know about me, and I would be able to say to her, my parents want to thank you for the gift you gave them, and you brought them such joy. That was what I promised my dad I would do. So I did that. But I never expected, Alexis, that I was going to have the love of two mothers like this, this late in life.
Wow.
My adoptive
mother.
Such
a gift.
Oh, my goodness. So that makes that other stuff absolutely nothing when you see the hand of God in so many different ways. And the other thing is just for the listeners out there to know, that when you're out of control, just know God's in control of things, and he will vindicate you. Those people that wronged me, that did that stuff, there's things happening in their life. God will take vengeance on those people. You don't let that take root in you. But if I would have emotionally not allowed myself to heal, I don't know if I would have had the strength to, like, take these steps. To do, and I would have missed out on these whole other blessings, you know? And so it is unbelievable. I'm telling you what. So who knows what ventures God has in store for us? But if we go through the fire, as my book says, walking through the fire, you will make it through. That's the point. And there's a way to make it through. And when you come out, come out not smelling a smoke, and allow the good to come from the bad. So that would be my message for everybody. Change the story. That's why I like to call myself the story changer. Don't sit there and keep telling that same old story. Oh, this terrible thing happened. Tell it, but tell it so that somebody can learn and good can come from it. Don't let that become you. So that's what I would say to everybody today, Alexis.
Thank you. Well, Dr. Lisa, we're at the end of the show. How can my listeners contact you, follow you, watch your updates? Is there a link or a site they can sign on to?
Yes, there's one for speaking, drlisaphd.com, drlisaphd.com. And for the consulting, if you're somebody out there that wants me for consulting, you're in a situation you have been a victim of being accused of a crime, or you're going through a serious situation where you need that kind of consultation to get you back where you need to be, just put my name in there, drlisaham.com, drlisaham.com, and you'll find me. And obviously I'm on social media, Dr. Lisa. You'll find me anywhere. So I just really look forward to meeting some of you, and you're in my prayers, and I've been thinking about you even though we've never met.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Lisa, this is, I've been just so moved by this episode, by this interview, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us this evening and for spreading your hope and your message. It's really God's gift.
Thank you.